We don't have to always be the one that's being knocked down by the devil. Amen.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In his hard-hitting message that continues this evening, Pastor Brian Grant has told us that two of Satan's related devices are to blind Christian parents to the fact that Satan is real, that he is present, and that he is busy. He is busy alienating parents from their children, making it impossible to pass on the things of the faith to the younger generation. But yet, Pastor Grant assures us, there is hope. There is hope for victory in Jesus. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant tells what it takes as he concludes his message, Mountain Moving Faith.
If you fail to become engaged with your children, but all you want to do is monitor everything, you are going to be in trouble. There will be strong resistance. So I urge you to make the effort to create positive family memories. Can I be very personal? My wife and I are reaping the benefits of the investment we made when the children were young. Don't blow it. Invest the time. Invest the effort. Take the time off. Take the vacation. Go places with your children. Build memories. So when you get to my age, the kids will call and say, let's go watch this. Let's go do that. You will find that if you invest in the children when they are young, as you get older, suddenly they don't mind hanging out with you. Amen? They won't mind hanging out with you because you invested the time. But too often we're invested in building up resources to take care of them. And what children need most is us. It's not all the stuff. It's us. Our time. And so I challenge you parents, particularly those who are watching and you have young children, change course. Invest the time in your children. Amen. We must know Satan's schemes. But second, we must stand in the victory of Christ. We must stand in the victory of Christ. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 17. Then Jesus answered, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? These words were also being directed to the disciples who had failed to cast out the demons. For Jesus had given them authority and the power to cast out demons. Just look back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, in case you forgot. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse number 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them what? Power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and diseases. Jesus had given them the power. And so Jesus, one of the groups he's rebuking here, he's rebuking his own disciples for their spiritual failure. There is no good reason. So write this in notes. There is no good reason for our spiritual failure. For we walk in the resurrection power of Christ. Am I right about that? We walk in the resurrection power of Christ. Hold your finger in Matthew and let's jump over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Just let me remind you about a couple verses here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 15, where the word of God says, Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is, come on now, verse number 19, God wants us to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Listen, instead of getting comfortable with spiritual failure, let's stand in the victory of Christ. For God has given every Christian all the resources we need for spiritual success. Mom, Dad, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God has given you all the resources you need. And the power that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead is available to us. And so, listen, we must stand in the victory of Christ. But despite his disappointment with us, I'm so glad he's such a wonderful, gracious Savior. Amen. You know, some parents, when they get upset with a kid, they just get so angry. The child is fearful and is in hiding. But I want you to know, we have a wonderful Savior. And even when we blow it, he will never give up on us. Amen? He'll never, ever give up on us. So whenever you're discouraged, right now you may be going through drama, drama, drama. There are issues in your life. There are issues in your family's life. You say, but I can't go to the Lord because I made the mistake. It's okay. What a gracious, compassionate, forgiving Savior we have. And if right now you recognize you're on the wrong track, it's okay to stop right where you are and say, Jesus, I blew it. Help me, Lord Jesus. We're struggling right over here and we need you desperately. Amen. Let's not hesitate to come for him. Listen, he might rebuke us. No, don't be afraid. But he does not want us to stay in the place of defeat. My God wants us to stand in the victory. Stand therefore in the victory in which Christ has made us free. Amen. We can stand in that victory. A football player graduated from college and was asked to be the assistant coach for the team. And his job was to be a scout to help recruit new players. So he asked the coach, what type of player are we looking for? What type of player are you asking me to find? The coach said, you know, there's the kind of guy that when you knock him down, he just stays down. The coach said, the assistant coach said, well, I'm sure that's not the guy we're looking for. We're not looking for a player who, when they knock him down, he just stays. That's right. The coach agreed. So the assistant says, well, the coach said, there's another type of guy who when you knock him down, he gets up, then he gets knocked down again, and he gets up, then he gets knocked down again, and he gets up. And so, of course, the assistant coach said, well, I'm sure that's the guy we're looking for. The coach said, no, we're not looking for the guy who keeps getting knocked down and getting up and knocked down and getting up and knocked down. The coach says, so the guy says, what are we looking for? The coach said, what we need is the guy who keeps knocking everybody down. My friend, you said, Pastor, where are you going with that? We don't have to always be the one that's being knocked down by the devil. Amen.
My Lord.
We don't have to be that one. Amen. We can choose to walk so closely with Jesus that we're not the one who the devil is always knocking down. Pray for me, Pastor. I just got knocked down. Okay, I pray for you. Next week, pray for me, Pastor. I just got knocked down. I pray for you again next week. But at some time, it's time to say, Lord Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, I'm going to stand. Amen. We don't have to always be the one knocked down by the devil. So add this to your note. It's time to get off defense and get on the offense, for victory has been secured. Amen.
Yes, sir.
What have we said so far? We must know Satan's schemes. But secondly, we must stand in the victory of Christ. Amen. Stand in his victory. But third, we must exercise mountain moving faith. We must exercise mountain moving faith. Pick me up at chapter 7, Matthew 17, verse 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief." It's not that I didn't gift you to do it. You weren't able to because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So let me give you a few extra things to add to your notes. First here, mountain moving faith is not roller coaster faith. Do you know what roller coaster faith is? 1 minute it's up. 1 minute. Do you know, who ever been on a roller coaster? Any of you been on a roller coaster? Who likes roller coasters? I hate them. But I have noticed, which direction does it go faster? Up or down? And that's part of the problem. Roller coaster faith. We are rushing down. Today we may be excited about how God is working in our lives, but if tomorrow we encounter a problem, our faith totally disappears and down we go. But friends, our God on the mountain, amen, the same God that was with them on the Mount of Transfiguration is the same God in the valley. Am I right about this? Our God on the mountain is still God in the valley. And despite what we may face, we can trust him. Amen. And I'm going to challenge somebody, because I'm sure there are individuals right here this morning who you are experiencing the valley. You're not on the mountain right now. You're in the valley. But I'm so glad to remind you that the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. And he wants to give you his mountain moving faith. We can trust him, because this God is able to move every mountain. No matter what it is, no matter what the drama is. You say, "Pastor, if you only knew what I am experiencing." I don't need to know everything you're experiencing, but God knows. Amen. And he not only knows, he's able to turn around your situation. Listen, mountain moving faith is not roller coaster faith. But secondly, mountain moving faith is not based on the size of our faith. People like to say, I just don't have enough faith. Is it good that you don't need a whole lot of faith? So we can't blame it on faith, you know. We can't say we don't have enough faith, because God is going to tell us now that it's not based on how much faith you have. Teenager. Do you know most teenagers, you're not around to see all God has done. And sometimes your faith may not be as big as your parents, but he will grow your faith. But even where your faith is, with a little bit of faith. Listen, look at verse 20 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17. If you have faith as a what? As a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from there to here to there, and it will move. A mustard seed. You say, Pastor, what is a mustard seed? A mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds in the entire world. It is 1 millimeter in diameter. 1 millimeter. Pick up your ruler when you go home and see how small a millimeter is. You might even find it on your ruler. But a mustard seed, 1 millimeter in diameter. But although it's one of the smallest seeds on earth, it grows to a towering 30-foot tree that spreads 20-something feet wide. That little tiny seed becomes a 20-foot wide tree, 30-something feet high. And so Jesus uses that as his illustration to tell us that no matter how little bit of faith we have, if that faith is anchored in this great, big, wonderful God, amazing things will happen. Amen? So write this down. Third thing. Mountain moving faith has to do with the object of our faith. Our omnipotent God is not based on your little faith. It is the object of our faith, our omnipotent God. You know, you could have tremendous faith in very thin ice and still drown. Am I right about that? You outdoor guys. You can have all the faith you want. If the ice is too thin, down you go. But listen, if you had faith in very thick ice, you'd be safe. So as Jesus points to the mountain he had just descended, he told them that faith as small as a mustard seed could move the mountain that he's pointing at when that faith is placed in him. What is the mountain you're dealing with? What is your mountain? Is it a personal health mountain? Is it a family mountain? God is saying, whatever your mountain is, this mountain moving faith, it can come to be operative in your life when you totally turn your problems and your commitment to him. But fourth, mountain moving faith is nurtured and cultivated by prayer and fasting. And it's important that we don't miss verse 21, because it says this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting is an indication that we're willing to make sacrifices. Let me stop there, because sometimes we want God to do everything, but we don't want to change course. But prayer and fasting is an indication that we are willing to make sacrifices and submit to God, totally depending on him to achieve his purpose in our life and in the life of our families. So what is mountain moving faith? Here's how I summarize it. Mountain, put this on the board. Mountain moving faith is total reliance in our omnipotent God. Amen. Mountain moving faith. Let's put that up. Mountain moving faith is total reliance in our omnipotent God. In the 1800s, when God put it into the heart of George Mueller to build Christian orphanages for destitute children in Bristol, England. George Mueller at that time was as poor as a church mouse, but he had mountain-moving faith. And so instead of asking for money, now listen good, listen to this story. The norm, if you want to build orphanages and you have no money, what do? You go around and you ask for donations. No, nothing is necessarily wrong with that, but I want you to recognize what mountain-moving faith can do. George Mueller, he decided he's not going to go and ask anybody for anything. He's just going to pray to God, because if God wants to do this, God can do it. And so he spent his time praying, asking, relying on the omnipotent God to provide. You know what? God answered in such an amazing way. He was able to receive the equivalent of over $300 million in today's money. Do you hear what I'm saying? $300 million. By placing his faith into the omnipotent, mountain-moving God. Here's an important lesson that I want to leave us with. We do not test the resources of God until we trust him for the impossible. We do not test the resources of God until we trust him for the impossible. What are you going to test God for today? What is it that you need in your life? Oh no, don't just think that God is a like a butler who's just ready to serve. Because God is first looking for us to commit our hearts and our lives to him. And I need to ask you right now, as I bring this service to a close, perhaps you're here and you need to see God's mountain-moving power displayed in your life. But it starts with a total commitment to him. Perhaps you're not even saved. And I want you to know that Jesus, this Jesus we're speaking about, is the same one who went to the cross of Calvary and died for your sins so that he could come and live his life in you. It starts there. But listen. It requires my surrender, where I totally make a commitment to him. We do not test the resources of God until we trust him. I commit myself to him, and I trust him to do the impossible. Are you willing to trust God today to do the seemingly impossible? My friend, God can be trusted. And whatever the need of your heart, I trust you will come to him today. I'm going to give you an invitation in a few minutes. I'm going to ask some of you who you're not sure you're saved, come to Jesus. And if you know you're saved, perhaps you're going through troubles, problems. I want to pray specially for you today. But oh, thank God, what a wonderful Savior we have. Father, bless us now. Thank you for your word. Continue to accomplish your purpose in our lives, we pray. For Christ's sake, amen. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.